What legal steps are being taken to stem the pervasive breach of our civil liberties, particularly the Fourth Amendment guarantee to the right of privacy, which is being performed by the mammoth National Security Agency's surveillance program? Our own Heidi Boghossian wrote the book Spying on Democracy: Government Surveillance, Corporate Power, and Public Resistance. She discussed in detail the public fight back from a legal standpoint. Today, attorney David Green, a senior staff attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, brings us up to date about ongoing litigation, lawsuits, and Freedom of Information Act requests to continue the fight back against government and corporate spying. David Green, welcome to Law and Disorder.
Thank you. Good to be here.
David, there's just been a cascade of information coming out, particularly since the Snowden revelations about what the government is doing to what our co-host Heidi Boghossian calls spying on democracy. You're in a particularly good position to help our listeners understand just what their government's capacity is, what they can find out about us, what they know, and what kind of information we have up to date, what is, in my view, a real threat to a democratic government.
Well, you know, and the challenge is that we're learning a little bit more with every disclosure. We're learning a little bit more about how much they do know. And so there's a lot we still don't know about how much they know about us. But let's talk about what we do know. We do know that they have several programs that collect communications data. They have a program that's called Upstream, which actually collects all internet communications. This actually happens at the fiber level, where in the communications companies switching facilities, there's actually a splitter that splits the transmission into what the communications company wants it to go, and then one that actually goes towards the government. So we've known about that program actually for several years, and we here at EFF have had a lawsuit, well, have had a few lawsuits pending about that for almost 7 years now. Our original lawsuit was actually against AT&T, but then Congress granted the telecom providers immunity, so we have a lawsuit pending against the government. One of the other things we've learned about is another program that also collects internet records called PRISM. PRISM seems to be focused on collecting email correspondence between foreign targets and the United States. And this is all done under the context of Section 702, which allows collection of data regarding foreign targets.
So, is that 702 of the Patriot Act?
Yes. So this is what we know about that. That's collecting internet data. Some of the recent things we found out also is about this collection of what the government called bulk telephone records. And these bulk telephone records are collected under a different provision of the Patriot Act, Section 215, which is also known as the business records provision. And what they're collecting, and they're basically collecting the call data of every telephone call made in the United States. And right now they're saying they're not collecting the content of these calls, only what they're calling the metadata, which is the which number calls which other number, what time that call was made, how long it lasted, information like that. But not the contents of the call. They say they're not collecting the contents of the call. So that's some of it. We also, now the most recent disclosures, and we're still trying to piece this together here, is that they're also collecting social media data as well, and doing things like social mapping and contact chaining, all sorts of stuff like that to try and get some sense of who's communicating with who. So that seems to be what we know right now based on some of the more recent disclosures.
One thing that scares me about this question, when they say, we're just collecting the megadata and not the real content of my phone call, is that they're building this huge 100,000-square-foot facility in Bluffdale, Utah. 100,000 square feet, that's like 10,000 rooms in an apartment. So I think that they're planning to store not just the metadata, but the content of my phone calls. Would that be a fair assumption?
Well, they've denied doing that. And frankly, there's plenty of they have plenty of data to fill a large facility, even with what they're getting. What they're saying is that they don't have that they aren't seeking and haven't acquired, and we don't have any proof that they've acquired the content of the calls. There hasn't been any documents disclosed either by Snowden or otherwise that they're acquiring the content of the calls, as opposed to the upstream program with the email traffic, where where it's getting everything. And they're also saying they don't even look at the vast majority of the telephone metadata. And I agree. I don't like calling it metadata, simply data about data. I don't like calling it that because you actually can learn quite a lot about when you know who somebody calls and how often they call that person.
And where they called them from.
And where they called
them. You know, the old joke is that the cell phone is really a locating device that also serves as a phone,
Yeah, and one of the things that we don't know, again, that has to be included, they've denied that they are collecting cell location data, but it seems it would be hard for them to segregate the cell location data from the other information.
Yeah, precisely. So we know that in New York City, for example, there are surveillance cameras everywhere. We know they're developing biometric systems so they can identify people. And they're tracking our emails. They've got this data on our cell phones. So let's talk about how this impacts on the Fourth Amendment. Tell our audience what the Fourth Amendment is, what it was designed to do, and what the threat is to democracy with respect to it.
Right. Well, there are several provisions of the Fourth Amendment. The one that we're most at issue here is the idea that is the prohibition against unreasonable searches and seizures without a warrant. Under the law is that there are constitutional standards about when a search warrant is issued and when a warrant is required for the government to collect information. We believe this records collection program that is going on through the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, all these programs that are being disclosed, we believe they don't comply with Fourth Amendment standards. That basically people's information is being searched, is being seized without a showing of probable cause, any probable cause to believe that these people actually did anything wrong.
We're speaking with David Green. David, tell us a little bit about the organization you work for and what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, Electronic Frontier Foundation is a nonprofit organization that fights for civil liberties in the digital world and the digital environment. We do lots of things here at ENF, but one of the things we're doing is working on challenging the constitutionality and the legality of the surveillance programs. And we've had litigation pending against the government. We've had several cases going for several years now regarding the upstream program and the prison program, and we actually have filed a new lawsuit now regarding this telephone records collection program. That's just getting going.
How does your organization stack up to the NSA? The NSA spends, I've read, $10.8 billion a year to conduct this spying on democracy. How about the EFF? Is this truly a David and Goliath fight?
Yeah, we don't have a $10 billion budget here. So whenever you go up against the government, you're going to be out-resourced. That's just the way it works. Even most private law firms and corporate entities are going to be out-resourced litigating against the government. So I guess in some ways you can consider it a David and Goliath.
But what are the stakes?